The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Lerfuas Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefanalo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem tanihenna began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with arichut yamim, health, osher ve'osher ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated in memory of Rahamim ben Victoria. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Dedicated by his family to school and mitzvot. Daf mem. Today's daf is being studied by Elul Nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Daf mem. Today we begin on Lamed Tet Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom, starting from the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins, Mi Shayu Perotav Be'ir Acheret. If a person had his fruit in another city, Ve'irbu Bene Ota'ir Lehavi Etzlo Meperotav. So the people in the other city, they made an Eruv in order to transport the fruit to the owner. The owner has fruit. It's not by him, his fruit. The fruit is in a faraway city. He doesn't have access to go to his fruit. It's too far, he doesn't have Eruv to get there. Mm-hmm. But the people in the other city that have his fruit, they made an Eruv to bring it to him. So the Mishnah says, Lo yavi'u lo. They cannot bring it to him. Why? Because the fruit goes after the tomb of the owner, and since he's outside the tomb of the fruit, even though they're in, they cannot bring it to him because the fruit is going after the owners. Okay? Now she says, Lo yabi'u, bepirotav u'il vehu lo irev lesham, dakol keregleh ba'alim. Like we said many times, all tichomim go like le'a ba'alim. And since he can't get there, so therefore they can't bring it to him either. V'im ayirev, but if the owner did make an ayiruv, v'im ayirev who? If the owner made the ayiruv, perotav, kamo. So the perot, follow him. Which means they can bring the fruit to him, or he can bring it, he can go get the fruit. There's no problem. Now she, v'im ayirev who, lalechet lesham, perotav kamo umutal lahavi'am. That's correct. As long as he has access, they could bring it to him. Because he could have got it himself, because he's within the tchum. Next case. Mi shezimen etzlo orchim. Okay, a person invited guests for Yom Tov. As he says, Mi'ir acheret v'yavu etzlo al yedei eruf. I invited people from a different city, and they're going to come to the guy's house using their eruf tchumim. Lo yolichu biyadam manot. Now they want to take some food back home. Yeah, food from the Balabayit's house. They can't take the food home. Why? Because the food follows the Balabayit's Eruv. And since the Balabayit's Eruv cannot get them back to that city, so therefore they cannot take food home. That's she, top line. Lo yulichu lachar su'udam manot biyadam lebetam l'su'udat al-layla. They can't take some food for dinner. Mishnah, Ela imken zakha lahem manotehem me'erev Yom Tov. Unless before Yom Tov, the Balabayit took the food and he was mizakeh to them. How do you mizakeh something to a person who's not in front of you? You go to a third person and you say, take these food stuff and be mizakeh it for Mr. So-and-so. That's zikui al yedei acher. The guy's not in front of me. So you can't mizakeh on your own. You can't pick up the food and say, this belongs to so-and-so. No. To make zikui for somebody else that's not in front of you, you have to go to a third party. You give him the item. You say, when you're going to be koneh for Mr. So-and-so. So now going into Yom Tov, who did the food belong to? The guest. So therefore, he can take the leftover food because it follows his eruv. Rashi. Ela imken zakhalim al yedeh acher. Right? By a third party. Manotem me'ayrev Yom Tov, shemasram ba'alabayit zeh, le'adam acher, b'mshikha. ואמר לו, זכה במנות הללו לפלוני ולפלוני. לזכין לו לאדם שלו לפניו. והיו שלהם בעוג'ום נלך כרגליהם.
Before Yom Tov, he went to a third party, be זוכף, this guy, we have a principle that says, זכין לאדם שלו בפניו. And therefore, they owned it going into Ben Hashem. So therefore, it follows their home, and therefore they can take the food home.
Okay, now comes the Gemara. Itmar, we have a statement of Amoraim. Mefkid perot etzel havero.
Okay.
Great machloket in this case. A person is mefkid, which means he gives perot to a shomer to watch. Okay? So now the question is going to be, to whose tehum does the fruit now become subject to? Does it become subject to the shomer's? Because now he's watching it, he's the shomer. Or do the Baalim still retain their tehum, even though they gave it over to the shomer? Hamafkid perot etzel havero. Rav amar keragle mi shefkido lo. It follows the shomer. Remember that. Rav goes according to the shomer. Shmuel amar keragle hamafkid. Shmuel says, no, it follows the owner, even though he gave it over. So this is the machloket. So comes Gemara and says, lema Rav Shmuel de'azdu le'tamayu. Let us say that the machloket Rav and Shmuel by Eruf Tehumin is consistent with their opinion in Masechet Baba Kama. Now, the case in Baba Kama is a case of a person that, let's say, has a shor. He has an ox, or he has a kederot, he has vessels, or different type of perot, or kelim, etc. And he goes to his friend, and he gets express permission from his friend, and he allows him to bring his goods into the friend's chatzir. So when you get express permission to bring it in, so everybody agrees the friend now becomes a shomer, and now he's watching, so he's responsible now if something happens to that ox. And if the ox damages, the owner of the ox is patur. Because bottom line, the shomer now is responsible for watching it. That's if he got express permission. The case in Baba Kama that we're discussing now is where it wasn't express permission. All the shomer of the chatzer, the guy in the chatzer said, ulu. Ulu means, come in. So what does ulu mean? Does ulu mean ulu v'intar? Come, bring your animal in and I'll watch it. Or you can bring it in. I'm giving you the shoot to bring it in, but I'm not taking responsibility. So that's a case of subject to machlok between Rav and Shmuel. So this is Detnan. Im hechnis birshut, which is if you brought your vessels in and you're short with birshut, I mean the guy told you, ulu, ba'al haser hayav. So the first opinion says that the ba'al haser is hayav to be shomer, because we say when he says ulu, it's like he's saying ulu v'intar. Bring it in and I'll be a shomer. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Le'olam eno chayav ad sheyekabel alav ba'al habayit lishmor. That's no, Rabbi says, the guy has to have explicit statement, and I'm letting you come in here, and I'll be shomer. But until he says, I'm going to be a shomer, you don't accept. Look at Rashi first, before we go further. Imichnis birshut. Right? Shoro v'kederotav u'perotav l'chatzir havero ba'al l'chatzir chayav b'nezakin. Right? The ba'al l'chatzir is chayav, quote the first opinion. V'resh ad ha'chmaniti b'bava kama dechi amar le ul v'intar ka amar le. Right? When he tells him, the first case is ul v'intar, that everybody agrees. Come in and I'll watch. There's no argument. Here he just says, come in. Now the question is, what did he mean? Now, v'amar avuna amar rav. Rav says, halakha kedivrei hachamim. So Rav holds that when the guy just says, come in, that's already enough. We assume that he's telling you, I'll watch it. Ushmuel amar halakha kedivri. And Shmuel says, no, you have to be explicit. Now, lemar Rav de'amar kerabbanan. So let us say that Rav's opinion over here in the case of mafkid perot etzel havero. Right? What did Rav say? Rav said, kiragle mi shefkidolo. He says it goes according to the shomer. He says, oh, very good. We'll say Rav is following the opinion of the Rabbanan in Masechet Baba Kama. That even though there's nothing explicit, you just gave it over to the guy told you come in.
And it's already assumed that what? He's going to be the shomer. So therefore, when you give fruit to a shomer also, it's also, he gets the shomer. You go by the shomer, meaning, and it goes according to his tchum. How? Look at Rashi, the fourth line. Lema, hach pluta dehacha, the machlok rove by mafkid perot, ki hach is like the machlok in Baba Kama. Azla, mishum da'amar rav, alaka krabanan, dekaimi birshuten le'anyan shemira, huadin le'tehumin. Just like it's in his reshut for Shemirah, like in the case of the fruit, let's say, right? In the case of the fruit, he's a Shomer, right? He's a Bafki, that's clearly he's a Shomer. So just like it's in his domain for a Shomer, it's also in his domain for Tehomin. Just like he said by the case of Baba Kama, that what? Like he'll go like the Rabbanan. That what the Rabbanan say when the guy says, bring your fruit in over there. So that's it. The Shomer goes into has all responsibilities. So the Shomer has all responsibilities in this case also, meaning even Tehomin. So Gemara says, Ushmuel da'amar ki Rabbi. Right, Shmuel is going according to Rabbi. Which means, what does Rabbi say?
To speak it out.
Rabbi says you have to be explicit. Rabbi says, even though a guy says come in, doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. So in this case also, a guy says, oh, I'm going to be a Shomer. Doesn't matter, doesn't mean that his tchum is going to be taken also. So therefore we want to say that the opinions over here are like the opinions over there. Okay? So again, Vamar Avuna Amar Rav Alakak Adve HaChamim Ushmuel Amar Alakak Adve Lema Rav De Amar, that goes according to the Shomer Kerabbanan, that items that are in the possession of the Bala Hatzer, so therefore it's his totally, even then Yad Tuhumin, and Shomer is going to go like Rabbi. Comes to give us Amar Lecha Rav, Rav says no. Ana De Amre Afilu Lirabbi. He says, when I made my statement by the Mafkid Perot, mm-hmm. I was saying it not only according to the rabbis. I was saying it even according to Rabbi's opinion in Baba Kama. Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Hatam. Over there, the reason why Rabbi said you have to have explicit permission, Ela de bistama lo kabil alin itinuta. Because we say bistama, a guy's not going to accept upon himself to be a shomer. Aval haka, hakabir alin itinuta. But here, he accepted to be a shomer. So therefore, Rabbi will agree when the guy accepts to be a shomer, so he takes over. So therefore, the tchum is going to go according to the shomer. It's a difference, a big difference in the case. Ushmuel Amar, Ana de Amri Afilu Rabbanan. And Shmuel comes along and says that I'm saying my opinion that what you have to be explicit. I'm saying it even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Right, what's the because according to Shmuel, he says it goes according to the Mafkid. Goes according to the Baal of the Perot. He said, I'm going even according to the rabbi's opinion. Ad kan lo kamir ban hatam. Over there, the rabbis said that if you just give it over to the shomer says, come in, it's already considered a shomer. You know why? Ela deni ale le'inish denikum tore birshute de Baal haser. It's ni'a for the owner. It's good for the owner that the Baal haser will take Shemira. Why? The imazik le lo mechayev. Because now, once he takes over ownership, if my animal damages, I'm off the hook. So therefore, in that case over there, the rabbis are going to say, when you give it over to the shomer, to the shomer tells you come in, right? So over there, I'll say it's the shemira. He's accepting shemira. Why? Because there, I'm happy with him to accept the shomer. I want him to be a shomer. Why? Because if he's a shomer, it benefits the me. Why? Because now if my animal gores, mm-hmm. I don't have to pay. Because he accepted shemira. So where it's beneficial for the person who's giving over the animal, there the rabbis will say, mm-hmm. it's okay even if it's not explicit. But over here, do I want my perot to become now the shomer's? I lose my tchum.
Right.
Therefore, I'm not going to give it over to a shomer with a dot that I'm relinquishing my tomb. It's not nihali. So therefore, Shmuel could say, I'm going even according to the rabbis. When I said, when you give over the fruit, it goes according to the regleh ha-ba'al, that's even according to the Bible. Normally, the Rabbanan say, so he's according to Rabbanan. Normally, Rabbanan say, what? Why Baba Kama? When you give, when he tells you to come in, it's for everything. He takes over completely. Yeah, that's because it's beneficial to the Baal also over there. He wants you to take over completely. But shake it over here, he doesn't want you to take over completely. It's against my will that you should take over completely, because then I'm losing my tomb. So therefore, we thought to be Toleh, the Mahloket, Rav and Shmuel, in the Mahloket, in Masechet Baba Kama, with Rabbi and Rabbanan, but we said, no, there's differences. Now let's read Rashi. Amar lecha Rav. Okay, again, Rav is the one that said by us that it goes after the Shomer. Perot go after the Shomer. Over here, that I said it goes after the Shomer, I'm going even according to Rabbi. The ilu Rabbi lo palig ela bede lo parish. Right, Rabbi, when did he say his case? In Baba Kama, where the guy wasn't exposed to ela ul stama, amar. Right, all the Shomer said that, you can come in. Vesabar Rabbi ul vetintar at ka amar le. And he learns that ul means ul, come in, vitintar at ka'amard, which means you could bring the animal in, but you're going to watch it. Right? I'm not accepting responsibility. Aval mafkid perot da'aka la bistamaskinan. It'll be the kabinet diruta. But here, when you gave the perot to the shomer, he accepted it. When he accepts it, he accepts it. Therefore, he accepts it also for tum. And therefore, he gets the tum goes after the shomer. That's the way Rabbi was going to say. And Rabbi is going to say again. What are you talking about? In the case over there, you know why I say the guy, there's no Shemira? Because what did the guy say? The guy said Ul. What does Ul mean? Come in. Vititarat. So therefore, he's not considered a Shomer. Masha'ik in here, when you gave the perot to the Shomer, the guy accepted it to be a Shomer. In that case over there, if he's explicit, he accepted to be a Shomer, and then it's done. And therefore, the Tom's going to go after the Shomer. There's a big difference in the cases. Usmu'el Amar Rashi. Ana de Amri Beha Afil Rabbanan. Ad kalo kamir banan hatam de kaimi birshut bal hatzer. Ela lenyan shemira. De kevan de spiralu de mistama ul veintar lach ka'amar le. Right, in the case of the Baba Kama, the rabbi said, when the guy says ul, mistama means ul veintar lach. And I'll bring it in and I'll watch it. Kol sheken de baal ashor menachnicha le. And also the baal ashor is also thrilled that the baal hatzer is going to take shemira. Right, the muki shono b'rishuto, the bal chaser the shomer, the imazik I shono the bal chaser lo mechayev ale. Right now he's off the hook of his shor damages. But after the nyan tchomin minich ale the inish. But here when it comes to tchomin, when I give the perot over to the shomer, he accepts shemira. Good, but do I want the guy to accept now? Give it over for even tchomin? No, nich ale. If it's going to be his tchom, I lose that. I'm not going to be able to access. So therefore, basically, the machloket of Rav and Shmuel still stands by the case of perot that he gave to a shomer. It's just that don't link that machloket with the machloket between Rabbi and Rabbanan and Masechet Baba Kama. Good. Tenan, now we're going to start bringing questions against the opinion of Rabbi. You say it goes after the shomer. My question number one. Tenan. If the Baal Abayit made an eruv, perotav kamohu. Right, we said the guy has perot. They're in a different city. Who's watching them in another city? It's not shomer. Okay, and the shomer has access to come to the baal habayit. But if the baal habayit doesn't have access to go to the perot, what do we say? Mm-hmm. You can't bring the fruit to him. Mm-hmm. But if the baal habayit made it eruv himself, so he can get it, you can bring it to him. Hold it. What are you talking about? Ve'im amart keragle mishifkido etzlo. But if you're telling me when perot are given to a shomer, the eruv follows the regle shomer like Rav, ki eruv hu mayavi. What do I care if he made the eruv? What do I care if the baal habayit made the eruv? Right. Bottom line, it's in the domain of the shomer, right. And the shomer it's regle shomer. So how could the Mishnah say that if the baal habayit made an eruv, everything's okay? Why is it okay? Bottom line, the shomer has it. According to you, Rav. It goes to the Gleshomer. Ben Hashemeshot, where was it?
Ben Hashomer.
Finished. It goes to the Gleshomer. Wait, tell me, what's the difference if I make an eruv now? Bottom line goes after the Shomer. Question. So Gemara says, Amar Avuna, Amre Ber Rav. So the Bet Midrash of Rav will answer, Kegon Shihed Lo Keren Zavit. It means that when you gave it over, the Baal Abayit gave it over to this guy in a different city, he didn't give it over to watch. He just gave him the fruit and he's renting him space like in his house to store the fruit. Which means he's not a shomer. You need a place to store your fruit? I listen, in the corner over here, Keren Zavit, in the corner, you can store your fruit over there. So then we really benefit Shema Shot. Who's the owner of the fruit?
Mm-hmm.
The Baal HaBayit. And therefore, if you made an Eruv, it's okay. We thought that this is a case of a Shomer.
No.
Well, you gave it to the guy before the holiday. This is your, this is my fruit. I want you to watch it for me. And then already stuck. Because like they're Shomer. Mm-hmm. Now, Yehid Lo Keren Zavit. I need a place to store my fruit. Ah, okay, I'll give you a little area in my house over there. Okay? Because she says, she had no kid in Zavid, the Ushle Beta, Hilkach Birshuta Mafkidin, Avalacha, the Mishken Shomer, the Kibel Alav Shimiratan, Harehen Keraglav. But in this case over here, when he gives the fruit to a Shomer, Mafkid Perot Etzel Havero, he's a full fledged Shomer. That's why it's going to go after the Shomer. Here, he had plenty of some space in his house. Okay. Tashema, another question against Rav. Mishi Zimin Etzlo Orchim. A guy invited the guests from out of the city. Lo Yolichu Biyadam Manot. Do not give them permission to take home food. Elaim Ken Zachal Em Manotem Me'erev Yom Tov. Unless you will mezakeh them the food before Yom Tov. But if you tell me that the shomer, that the fruit goes after, food goes after the shomer, what do I give you mezakeh? Okay, let's say before Yom Tov, you will mezakeh the fruit to the guests. Beautiful. But right now, who's the shomer? Who's watching the food for them?
You.
The Baal HaBayit. The Baal HaBayit now is the shomer for the guests. Yes. So therefore, what do you tell me? But if you're mezakeh for them, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. Bottom line goes like that, Shomer. Right, so what's going to help you if you're mezakeh? It's one question. Kevan shezachalahem al yedei acher, kemo sheyehed lo keren zavit. So again, what I want to say, once you're mezakeh to them before Yom Tov, so therefore really, they own it. Which means, what are you showing by making zikui? You're showing, I want to transfer it to them. And why did you make the whole zikui? Because I don't want it to follow my tomb. Mm-hmm. What's the whole purpose of the Baal HaBayit to do zikui before the Yom Tov? So they can take it home. Otherwise, why do you make zikui? His whole kavana is, I do not want this food to be subject to my tomb, because these guys are not going to be able to take it home. So when you mizakeh something to somebody before Yom Tov, that's similar to miyahed lo makom. I'm not a shomer. On the contrary, I don't want my tomb to interfere now with these guests. So therefore, it's like Yehud Makom. Just like Yehud Makom doesn't make a Shomer, because I'm not watching, I put it in the corner, it's yours. Same thing with Zikui, you're showing what? I don't want my tomb to affect, and therefore I'm Mizakir to you before the holidays. So therefore, it's like a sort of Shomer, therefore it can follow the Gleh, the guests, exactly. Okay. Well, actually, let's read that sheet first. So that's fine. So the first explanation is kimo yichud, and the second answer is v'ibayt ema zachashani. That's what I said. Zachash is different. Why? Look at that sheet. Sharech kol atzmo lo asa ela lehotzio mishvitato ve'la'amido b'shvita shelenu b'rishutan. So that's really the second answer. The second answer, the Gemara, is zachashani. Why? What's my whole cover up for Mizika? I want their Eruv to kick in and not mine. So when you Mizika, it's like a Gilui Da'ad. So what's the first answer? What's the difference between the first answer and the second answer? The first answer is what? It's like Yehud Makom. Which means, just like the guy who's Miyahed Makom, did he accept Shemira? No, just storing it for them. Same thing also. When now I'm Mizika to somebody else, it's by me, but I'm not accepting Shemira. It's like I'm storing it in my house. Yeah, the perot is still, the food's still in my house. But what? I'm giving the guy storage rights. Right? He's not there. Where's he going to put it? Put it in the street? I'll put it in the corner for him. That's the first answer. That when a guy accepts upon himself, and he's mezakeh the fruit, or the food is orayah before Yom Tov, first answer, the Baal HaBayit is not a shomer. It's kilu yihed lo makom. It's like I'm just storing your fruit by me, but I'm not a shomer. Second answer, zakashani. That when you mizakeh before Yom Tov, your whole da'at is what? To get your tum out of the way, in order to let the tum of the guest kick in. So therefore, Vadai, we're not going to say that he's going to interfere, so that's why it's okay. Okay? Story. Rav Chana bar Hanilai. Tala Bisra be'avra de dasha. He was staying by Ushpischeh, that's like a host that was hosting the rabbi. And the butcher delivered meat for the rabbi. So the rabbi took the meat and he hung it by the bolt of the door. So you walk in, there was a door and there was a bolt, there was room for hanging it. So he hung the meat by the bolt of the door. Now, he wasn't planning on staying in this Ushpischeh on Yom Tov. They delivered the meat before Yom Tov. He was planning on going on Yom Tov, taking the meat and going home. Can it? He had an Eruv in order to get him back the way he lived. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then all it is, he just hung the meat on the door. So he came to Ravuna just to find out the halakha, you know, can he take this meat home? Can he not take the meat home? Amar le, I atalit zil shekol. If you hung the meat on the door, you can take it home. Mm-hmm. But if they hung the meat, which means if the butcher delivered it, right? Mm-hmm. And the host came and took the meat and hung it on the door, you can't take it home. So now we have to start to analyze what's going on over here. You know, it's his meat. So the Gemara says, if he hung it, mishakin, would he be allowed to take it home? Why not? Even if he hung it. The Gemara is questioning, why? What's the problem? Veha Ravuna talmid deravava. First of all, Ravuna, we know, was a student of Rav. Ve'amar Rav. And Rav said, oh, what's that bit first? Okay, so then give Shabbat. Ve'amar Rav keragle mishif kido itzlo. What does Rav say? That it goes after the regle of the shomer. So in this case over here, who's the shomer?
The hotel people, whatever.
Right, he's hanging it up on the door. But bottom line, it's by the Ushpischeh. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Amar le, I'at talya talit zil shekol. If you hung it, take it. The inu talulach letzor kecha. If they hung it, but for you, they have you in mind. Lo tishkol lo lichan la'ircha. Why? Because they're hanging it for you, which is they're watching it for you.
Right.
They're watching you, they're the shomer. And we know Ravuna was the one that told them, listen, if you hung it, it's okay. If they hung it, it's not okay. So hold it. Even if you hung it over there, according to Rav, it goes after the shomer, and therefore the chaurat shouldn't be, it should be a problem. So the Gemara says, well, they're not watching it for me. Shani avrad didasha. By hanging on the bolt of the door, dichmo shiyehedo keren zavid damet. Nah, they just give me a space to store my meat. They're not watching it for me. They didn't. If I would have put it in the house and given it to them and told them, "Sin, watch my meat." That's another story. Where did we put it? I'm hanging it on the door. So what are they giving me? They're giving me space. So therefore, it's not a problem. Oh, so Gemara says, "Amar le Rav Hillel Rav Asher ve'inu talule." So what did Ravuna tell him? But if they hung it up, lo shakir. What do you mean? Amar Shmuel. We have a statement of Shmuel. Shor shel fatam. What was the shor shel fatam? That's the fattener of the shivarim. What do we say? Hareu keragle kol adam. What does that mean? Hareu keragle kol adam. Whoever comes to buy that animal on Yom Tov, it goes according to his tchum. Whoever the purchaser is, that's the what's the explanation? Because it's expected that everybody's going to come from all parts of the cities, even out of town, to the Shor Patam, because everybody knows he's a seller. Uh-huh. Correct? Yeah. So we say Birira. What's Pshat in the Birira? We say that whoever buys it and takes it on Yom Tov, it was the Uvral Mafreya that really was his from the beginning, because you can assume that people are going to take it, and therefore it goes like Leh Kol Adam. And which means, we want to say the same thing over here. When they hang it up, right? The butcher brought it and they hung it up. Now, what are they going to do with it? We're assuming they're going to give it to somebody. They're receiving the package, right? Mm. They hung it up on the door.
Right.
Now they don't need the meat. They're going to give it to a customer.
Mm-hmm.
So then, why do you say that since people buy meat from the Ushpischeh, so you can assume that what whoever they gave
the
it to, it was Uvral Mafreya, that was the one that was supposed to get it, and therefore, it's like Rekone, therefore, the rabbi should have been able to bring it home, even if they hung it up, just like the Shor, the Patam. whoever buys it, we say you were the guy from Ben Shemashot. So the same thing over here. You tell me, oh no, it's in the hands of the Ushmashir. Whoever they give it to,
that's what they wanted.
That's what they wanted to give it to. I'll say the Tovra and Mafay the same thing. So therefore, the Kaurad, Rav Hanilai shouldn't have been able to take it home, even if they hung it up. That's the first question. The Gemara has three questions. Abba le Ravina le Rav Asher. Question number two. Vi'i inu talule. Again, if they hung it up, lo shakil. You tell me that he can't take it. Va'amar Rav Bar Hana, Amar Rav Yochanan, halakha can it be dosa? We learned earlier that the halakha follows the bidosa. What was the halakha of the bidosa? We said if there was one shepherd in the town, correct? Even before, the guy buys the animal, right? The customers, they would buy the animal, they would give it to the shomer. Right. They would give it to the roe to watch, right? To graze. So we said, even if you didn't give it to the roe until Yom Tov, it follows regle roe. Why? Because it's assumed, who is he giving it to? There's only one roe. Mm-hmm. It's assumed that the roe is going to get it. Therefore, even if he didn't transfer it, it goes after the roe. Right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, we'll say the same thing. Which means, when they hung up the meat, who are they hanging it for? There's only one customer that had it. They have halalized in the hotel. Right. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they're doing it for him. Right. So therefore, the chaurat should be assumed. It's the rabbis. Just like when there's one Ru'ah in the town, and they give it to him on Yom Tov, you said, that Ben HaShemashot is the Ru'ah already. It's assumed they're giving it to. So same thing over here. The butcher bought the meat for the rabbi. So they came and took it, they put it, they're watching it, they put it on the door. Who are they giving it to? They're going to give it to the rabbi. So therefore, even before they gave it to them, they didn't give it to Yom Tov. Doesn't matter. It's assumed that it's his. Second, the third question. Again, if they hung it, they can't take it. We learned in the Mishnah. That's right. Behema and kelim. You have an animal and you have vessels. Who does the animal and the vessels go according to? According to the owner. Correct? She's who's tchum when it comes to vessels? Whoever owns it. Very good. So what do I care if the Ushmashir hung up the meat? Who owns the meat?
Right.
The meat was delivered for Rav Hanilai. So therefore, what's the shayla of it? It's the owners.
Right.
So I don't care who hung it up. So therefore, the Gemara asks three questions on Rav Huna's ruling. The Gemara start off like this. If he hung it up, you're telling me I didn't go home. What do you mean? Even if he hung it up, they're being shomer.
Right.
They go after the shomer. No. And if Huna was a student of Rav, and Rav says it goes like the Shomer. Right. No. They're not Shomer. Why? It's like Miyahed lo Makom. They're just giving him a space to store it. Okay, so you answer that side. But now the Gemara says, on the side that you're telling me that they hung it up, you can't bring it home. I'm asking you three questions, why can't they bring it home? Number one, it shouldn't be worse than the case of Shor Patam. Mm-hmm. In the case of Shor Patam, we assume that what? Whoever's going to take it, that was the customer. The same thing over here. He's not eating the meat. He's going to give it to somebody. So therefore, you assume whoever he gave it to, that was the one that belonged to Ben Shemashot. Number two, halakha falls the bidosa. And what did the bidosa say? That when there's a ro'eh, and there's one ro'eh in the town, so you assume that what? Even though he gave it to Ben Yom Tov, Ben Shemashot belonged to the ro'eh. So the same thing over here. Who are they giving it to? You're going to give it to the rabbi. So therefore, even though you didn't give it to Yom Tov, let's say, it doesn't matter, it's his. It's because Ke'ilu, it says already. Third question, what are you talking? We have a simple rule. Killing animals, items, go after the owner. So machbatli, if they hung it up on the thing, who owns the meat over here? The meat was delivered to the rabbi. So the Gemara says, you're right. There's another reason why Rav Huna forbade the meat if the Ushpitzche hung it up. Nothing to do with the laws of Tehumin. You're right, for the laws of Tehumin, he's good. If he hung it up, or if they hung it up, take it home. You have another issue over here. What's the issue? The Gemara says, "Ela shani Rav Hana bar Hanilai." Rav Hana bar Hanilai is different. The Gemara Rabahu, who's a great Tamil Chacham, v'tarid b'shmate. He was preoccupied in his learning. So what's the worry over here? We have a law of basar shenit alem min ha'ayin. We have a law that you have a piece of kosher meat, but if you lose sight of the piece of meat, so now already you have to assume that somebody switched it. In this case over here, where it's hanging on the doorpost. If you take your mind off the piece of meat over there, where maybe a bird came, took that piece of meat, took another taref piece of meat and put it in instead. Bird. And therefore, if you take your mind or your eyes off that piece of meat and you're not familiar with what's going on, so then already you can eat the piece of meat. So what the Gemara is going to say is like this: when the rabbi hung it up, so two things. Number one, he recognizes the meat. Every piece of meat has a shape. Okay, so when he himself hung it up, he knows what the piece of meat looks like. And usually when somebody hangs it up himself, so he's cognizant of what's going on, so he pays attention. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's not basar shtet fil an ayin, take it home. But however, when you let somebody else do it, so the rabbi's not paying attention because he's learning. Right. And the people that hang it up, they don't care. It's not their meat. So therefore, they don't pay attention. And the rabbi doesn't know the siman because he didn't see it. So therefore, it's basar shtet fil an ayin. That was the issue of it. When they hang it up, you can't eat it because you're concerned that when the rabbi goes to pick it up, maybe it's a different piece of meat.
Nice.
So that's the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "V'achi kamar le i'at talit." If you hung it up, eat lach simana begave. Number one, you know what the meat looks like. You paid attention. You know the shape of it. Ve'lo maschat natachmina. And secondly, you don't take your mind because when you do something, you're cognizant of what's going on, and you know what the piece of meat looks like. So therefore, you're going to come and look, then you're going to see the meat is a different piece. Oh, hey, that wasn't my the shape. So you know what's going on. You're going to pay attention, and therefore, ziv shekol, take it. Ve'inu talulach. But if they're going to hang it up, maschat natach. They're not going to pay attention because what do they care?
And you're not
paying attention because you're learning. And therefore, velo tishkol. Because the problem of basar shenitalem, then I knew such a tone problem. It's no problem. I don't care who hangs it up. Okay, now we go to the last Mishnah in the Masechet. Mat 18. En mashkin v'shochatin et ha-medbariyot, aval mashkin v'shochatin et ha-baitot. Elu hen baitot halanot ba'ir, medbariyot halanot ba'afar. Okay, we're discussing now on Yom Tov, slaughtering animals. So it says, "En mashkin v'shochatin et ha-medbariyot." You cannot slaughter an undomesticated animal. That's an animal that grazes in the midbar. Now, what's the logic? Mukseh. It's not in your mind. Right. It happened to be that animal, it surfaced into the city on Yom Tov. Going into Yom Tov, is your mind on this animal? It's in the midbar. It doesn't usually come home. Right. And therefore, en shochatin, it's mukseh. Now, the Gemara will explain, what is this mashkin business? What is this giving the water to the animal? For Chawla, that's not our subject. We're not talking about giving the water to the animal to drink. We're talking about slaughtering. Can you slaughter or not? So the Gemara will discuss, what is this mashkin business? We'll get to it in the Gemara. Avad mashkin v'shortet baitot. What is baitot? A baitot is a domesticated animal. It's in the city, let's say. So therefore, your mind is on it. The Gemara explains, Eluen baitot, halanot ba'ir. A baitot is, it sleeps in the city. Meaning, even though in the day it's roaming in the fields, but at night it sleeps home, exactly. Yeah. So therefore, when it surfaces in the city, your mind is on it, because it comes home every night. Midbariyot, not ba'afar. But the midbariyot, they sleep in the meadows. They sleep in the pastures, and by the swamps over there. That's afar. So therefore, if it surfaces on Yom Tov, your mind wasn't on, they never come home. So therefore, it's mukseh. So comes the Gemara and says, Lama li lememad mashkin v'shohatin. What is the Mishnah talking about? You can give them to drink, and then you could slaughter. Your purpose is slaughtering or not slaughtering? What are you throwing in the mashkin? What's that coming to teach you? Kabbalah says, "Milta agav urheka mashmalad." It's giving you another hadush here. That what? Tilashke inish behemto ve'adal lishchot. Give your animal to drink before you slaughter. Why? Mishum sarchad mashcha. So the skin does not stick and adhere to the flesh. Can it air? You want to skin the animal after, right? So when you give it a lot of water to drink, it causes the animal to get bloated, and it separates the skin from the flesh. And therefore, you give it to drink, bloat it up a little, slaughter. Now you're able to skin the animal easily. So Stam the Mishnah is giving you good advice. But normally before Shaita, they would normally give to drink. So it says, Mashkin v'shohatin. The point is, the Mishnah doesn't teach us a lot about Mashkin. There's no issue to give the animal to drink. And it's just giving you a derech agav. You should know it's a good idea. Before you slaughter, give a little water in order to make the skinning process easier. Comes Gemara and says, Taru Rabbanan, Elu hen midbariyot. We have a machlok now, what's considered midbariyot and baitot. The first opinion says, these are midbariyot. ואלו הן ביתות, איזה ביתות? מדבריות כל שיוצאות בפסח ורואות באפר. The animals leave the city on Pesach time.
They go away for Pesach.
They go away for Pesach, exactly. And they go away for a long time, but. And they stay in the meadows for many months. ונכנסות ברביעה ראשונה. And they come back in Heshvan. So therefore, they're out in the fields for 6 months. And they don't return until the Vi'al Nishan, the first period of the rain. When's the first period of the rain? In Hajvan. That's considered Midbariyot. The Elu Hen Baitot. That they always go out and graze outside the tchum, but every night they come back in the tchum. Okay, so that's the first opinion of what Midbariyot is and what Baitot is. Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says no. Elu ve'elu Baitotin. Both those cases you just brought me, those are Baitot. Even the animal that goes away for 6 months, right, but comes back in Mar Hajvan, we still call that Baitot, and therefore it's not going to be Mukseh. Ela. Elu hem midbariyot. You know what midbariyot is? Kol sheyotzot ve'ro'ot ba'afar ve'en nechnasot le'yishuv lo bimot ha'chama ve'lo bimot ha'geshamim. Things, they go out to the field, they never come back. Not in the summer, not in the winter. So therefore, the B gives a different definition to what midbariyot are. Midbariyot totally leave the yishuv, they never come back. Good. Now wait. From the fact that the B is explaining what midbariyot are and what Baitot are, he's given the definition, yes?
Yeah.
That must mean that what? He holds of the subject of Mukseh. Our Mishnah must be going according to the opinion that holds of Mukseh. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon let the Mukseh. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't care if it's a Midbariyot, it was in the field for 12 months. Bottom line, it comes on Yom Tov. Even though B'nai Shemashon wasn't in Yom Tov, it doesn't matter. He doesn't hold the Mukseh. So you have to say that the Mishnah over here is not going according to the opinion of Mukseh. The only problem is Rabbi. That just to find me what Baitot are, what Midbariyot are, we see in another place, he holds like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Mukseh. Which means let Mukseh. So then what do you care, Baitot, Midbariyot, you don't know the Mukseh. What's the difference between Baitot and... So the Gemara says, Umi itle the Rabbi Mukseh? Does Rabbi hold the subject of Mukseh? He's giving me definition, this is Baitot, this is Midbariyot, what's the difference what it is? Even Midbariyot should be okay. Rabbi, you don't hold the Mukseh. Why? Rabbi Shimon asked the question to Rabbi. What was the question? Rabbi Shimon Barav. That's not the Rabbi Shimon of Mukseh. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi. Meaning Rabbi Shimon's son. Rabbi's son was Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi asked his father the following question. Rabbi Shimon Mahu. What's Pas'ilei Temara? That she says there were certain dates that would not ripen on the tree. That's the nature of these dates. They don't ripen on the tree. So what would they do? When they're still unripened, they would put them in baskets. Like baskets made out of palm leaves. And they would store it in there. And still, they really weren't edible for consumption. They weren't fully ripened. So now the question is, you have them in these vessels over here. They're not fully ripened yet. So he asked his father, he says, Dad, according to the Bishon, that doesn't hold of Mukseh, would you hold, you're allowed to eat these fruit, let's say, on Shabbat? What's the question? Maybe you'll say, since people don't normally eat them, it's considered like Simukim and Grogrot. Remember we learned, even according to the Bishon, that doesn't hold of Mukseh, remember the case where a person had, let's say, a fruit, he wanted to dry them. So he goes before Shabbat, he puts them on his roof. Right? Now on Shabbat, they're still soft and all that. So the Mishnah says, no, you put them on the roof, that's the Hayab Yadayim. You push them away, Mukseh. So do we say similarly over here, these fruit over here, you put them in the basket, and therefore they're really not so edible because they didn't ripen yet. Would the Mishnah say that this is also Mukseh? That's the question they asked the B. What would you say the B Shimon holds regarding his Pasaideh Temara? So he says, Amadeh En Mukseh the B Shimon, Ela Grogrot Vitzimukim Bilvad. He said, it's not Mukseh. The only Mukseh for the B Shimon is what? Grogrot Vitzimukim. Which means the figs and the raisins. Why? What's the difference? Look at that sheet, top line. She'en mitichila ruhi lachila. Originally, these figs and these dates, these raisins were edible. What did he do? Fudahau tam biyadam la'otam liyabesham. He rejected them. He took something that was edible, put it on the roof in order to dry them off. Veshuv enam re'uhi ma'chi yabshu. That's it. Now they're not re'uhi until they dry. Aval elu lo dahau tam biyadayim. What did he do? He picked them off the tree, put them in a basket. Ve'ika dachin minayu achi. People eat them like this. And therefore, kasalka da'ata mit the parish the miltet Rabbi Shimon, amak Rabbi Shimon Shvirale. Now, if Rabbi Shimon, if Rabbi is explaining Rabbi Shimon's sevara, we assume that Wadi must hold like him. So if Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean? So what is he explaining Baitot? What is he explaining Medbariot? That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. So let's review the question again. Gemara had a thing like this. Rabbi gave me the definition. Elohim Medbariot, Elohim Baitot. Okay, so if you're going with Baitot and Medbariot, that means you subscribe of the Mukse subject.
Correct.
Because if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, you don't care Medbariot, Baitot, there's no Mukse. Mm-hmm. Very good. So Rabbi, you hold the Mukse. But what do you mean? Your son asked your question. According to Rabbi Shimon, what would Rabbi Shimon hold? Pasayle Temara. He said, "En Mukseh Rabbi Shimon." So we're assuming if he's answering
the question,
Mishitav Rabbi Shimon must be he holds like it. Oh, so you don't hold the Mukseh? You hold like Rabbi Shimon. So make up your mind. So Gemara gives a simple answer. Gemara says, "Ibaet Ema Haniname Kegrogot Vetzimukim Dame." The Gemara says, "You're right. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon." When you have animals that live in the midbar and they never come home, that's like Gregorot and Simukim. Mm-hmm. Even Rabbi Shimon will say Mukseh. It's like you would Duhe Otam Biyadayim. Which means, yes, the Mishnah that we're going like, you thought the Mishnah is the Biyuda? No. The Mishnah is even going like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because animals that never surface and they never come, it's like a guy taking the fruit and putting them on the roof. Even Rabbi Shimon will agree to this type of mukseh. Next answer. Nivaitema lidbarav de Rabbi Shimon ka'amar vele lo svira le. Says, what do you want? His son asked him a question. Alibad de Rabbi Shimon, what would Rabbi Shimon hold? Just because he answered the question doesn't mean he holds like it. Meaning, yeah, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is what he's held. But I don't hold like it. So therefore, according to this answer, really, Rabbi holds like the Biyuda. And there's a difference between Baitot and Midbariot. Because he holds the subject of Mukseh. Ah, Patsayilet Temara. Yeah, by the way, Patsayilet Temara is also Mukseh, according to me. Well, but you answered the question. Yeah, I'm answering Alibad Rabbi Shimon. The question was asked to me according to Rabbi Shimon. Just because I answered the question, Alibad Rabbi Shimon means I hold like him? I don't hold like him. Look at Rashi. Iba et ema, hane, the first Iba et ema, hane midbariot, she'en nechnasot li yishuv klal, kegroriot v'smukin damyan, she'makse otan me'etzo biyadayim. That's the first answer. Even Rabbi Shimon agreed to the case of midbariot. Second answer, Iba et ema, en mukse le Rabbi Shimon ka'amar le'aba le'didi, yes mukse. The Mishnah is talking about different type of animals. You have baitot, and you have midbariot. Baitot is like domesticated animals that they come from time to time. As a matter of fact, every night
they go home
to the city. So therefore, the Mishnah says they're not considered mukseh because your mind is on them. Therefore, you can shochet them on Yom Tov. However, midbariot, they're outside of the city, and therefore they sleep in the meadows. In the afar with an aleph, and therefore the person's da'at is not on them, therefore the mukseh. You cannot make shechita on them on Yom Tov. Now, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he also gave an interpretation of what baitot are and what midbariot are. And the Amud Rishon, towards the bottom, it said Rabbi Omer, Elu ve'elu baitot, which means, according to Rabbi, Rabbi holds that when you have a animal that goes out on Pesach, right, goes to graze on Pesach, and comes back on Mar Hezban, that was the first opinion that said it's a Midbariot. It goes away for 6 months. It goes away Pesach to the meadows. After Hezban, rainy season, what is it going to do? There's no more food out there. So it comes home. So the first opinion wanted to say that's Midbariot. Mm-hmm. Rabbi says, no. If it comes home, even in Mar Hezban, that's considered Baitot. So what's Rabbi's opinion? Ela, Elohim Midbariot, kol shiyotzot v'ro'ot v'afar ve'en nechnasot le'yishuv lo bimot ha'amar v'lo bimot ha'geshamim. He says Midbariot is more extreme. It has to be an animal that goes out of the city conclusively, and it doesn't come back home at all. Not in the summer and not in the winter. And therefore, that type of animal, according to the bee, is mukseh. Why? Because it's totally out of your mind, never comes back. Good. So what do you see from this Gemara? Rabbi must hold of the concept of mukseh. If he's going, giving us Midbariyot and Baitot, the subject of Midbariyot and Baitot is a Mukseh subject. So the Gemara says, must be the B holds of Mukseh. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't hold the Mukseh. So Rabbi Shimon, this Mishnah, doesn't matter whether it's Baitot, whether it's Midbariyot, there's no Mukseh. But Rabbi must hold of Mukseh. The Gemara says, what do you mean? I'll show you that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon. From a different place. What's the case? The case of Patsaile Te'enim. What's the case of Temara? What's Patsaile Temara? Those were those type of dates that wouldn't ripen on the tree. So what they would do was, they would take them off the tree, and they would put them in baskets made out of palm leaves, and they would ripen in the basket. Now, there was a stage where they still weren't edible yet to all type of people. They were still incomplete. So one time, Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, asked his father, "My father, what would Rabbi Shimon, the opinion of Mukseh, who doesn't know the Mukseh, what would Rabbi Shimon hold by Patsaile Temara?" So he said, "En Mukseh in Rabbi Shimon. There's no Mukseh for Rabbi Shimon, only Grogrot with Simukim." Rabbi Shimon says, only the case where you put the fruits that you wanted to dry them, so you put them on the roof, there it's considered Dichiyabi Yadayim. They were edible. They were edible. And then what? You took an edible item, you put them on the roof, that means you push them away, and therefore you push them away, so therefore they become mukseh. But Patsaile Temara, people eat them. Which means, not maybe not everybody eats them, but they're edible. And you didn't push them away, you took them off the tree and put them in a basket. So therefore the Bishamon will say Patsaile Temara is not mukseh. But what do you see from here? That the bee seemingly holds like the Bishamon. So make up your mind. If he's telling us with Bariyot and Baitot, that means he doesn't hold the Mukseh. He does hold the Mukseh. But if he holds about the story of Patsaile Temara, he holds like Rabbi Shimon and Mukseh. So the Gemara, in its first answer, the Gemara said that really the case of Midbariyot is like Simukim and Grogrot. Why? Because Midbariyot that never come back, it's like you pushed them away. So even the Bishimon, who holds a Mukseh by Tzimukim Grogrot, will say also by Midbariyot it's Mukseh. So therefore the Chidami, the Mishnah can't be going like the Bishimon. The second answer was, just because Rabbi discussed the Bishimon's opinion, Legabe Mukseh, doesn't mean he holds like it. If somebody comes to the rabbi and asks him a question, according to Rabbi Shimon, what would he say? So he answered. Does that mean I hold like Rabbi Shimon?
Yes.
He asked me a question, I answered. I don't subscribe to that opinion. So therefore the second answer is what? Iba et ema. I'm going to read it inside. Iba et ema. Ledvarav de Rabbi Shimon ka'amar. Vele lo svirale. Very good. Now we give the third ibaitema. Ibaitema le divrehem de rabbanan ka'amar lehu. Really, I'll tell you that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon. And really, I'll say what? En mukseh. And all Rabbi was doing was saying like this. Lididi en mukseh. Listen, rabbis, according to me, I don't hold mukseh, so it doesn't matter mit bariyot, Baitot, none of the animals are mukseh. Ela lididhu. But according to you that hold mukseh, oduli mihat hechad yotzet veroot bepesach v'nichnasot berbi'ah rishona de baitoten. At least admit to me, if they come home for Cheshvan, they're domesticated. Jeez, I don't care. I hold if they never come home forever. It doesn't matter to me. I hold like Rabbi Shimon. There's no mukseh. But you rabbis, you hold of mukseh. Good. But at least the shittatchem agree that if they come home, at least in Cheshvan, they're baitot and they're not mukseh. So the rabbis tell him back, the amrule, and the rabbi said, lo, midbariyote. They say, no. We hold that if they go away for 6 months, and they come home just for Hijvan, that's midbariyot, and it's really mukseh. Which means, what Rabbi was really saying is, listen, to me, this conversation doesn't apply. Because I hold it to be Shimon. But I'm just discussing with you midbariyot and baitot, the shittachem. You hold the baitot, but you came with an opinion that said midbariyot, you want to say, means what? Where it comes home in Hijvan. That's midbariyot. Nah, come on. at least admit that if they come home in Hezban, it's Baitot.
Right.
And the rabbi said, no. We hold that if it just comes home in Hezban, it's with Bariyot, and therefore it is Mukseh even in such a case. So that's the subject over there. Hadran, Alach, Mishilin, Perot, Mislika, Masechet, Betzah.